Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
And we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We are powered by our good friends at Mercer Well Service. And we have got a lot of ground to continue to cover with the NBA Finals. Also, a lot of movement taking place in the coaching carousel. And so the gentleman that I have invited on does a great job covering the Dallas Mavericks. He and his son, they cover a number of sports. Their program is very eclectic. Is Royce Fisher with RF Sports. In fact, he and his son are en route right now, headed down to San Antonio to take in some action. How are you, Royce?
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm always in a good mood when I talk to my dear, dear friend. And we have got, my goodness, so much has happened since the last time that I saw you. I mean, you start talking about all the vacancies and openings with these NBA jobs. I'm just going to roll down the list. Just hang with me here. You know, you got the Clippers. The Nets just filled that position, of course, with Jason Kidd, and we're going to talk about him momentarily. The Grizz and then the Nuggets and the 76ers, who I thought did a terrific hire with a dear friend, Coach Mo Cheeks. But talk to us, I mean, because you spent time in the locker room around Jason Kidd, of course, brought the Mavericks, you know, led the way in 2011 with that first world championship. He's got that high basketball IQ. But when you've spent time around him, Royce, what impresses you the most about him and how he'll be able to make that transition from player now to a head coach?
Well, you know, Elise, I was kind of surprised, like everybody else was, that they chose, you know, he was considered for the job. But having said that, he does have a great basketball mind. And, you know, it worked for Doc Rivers. He made the transition. Also, Mark Jackson, they went from players to coaches. And I think Jason Kidd would be a terrific coach.
Absolutely. Of course, he had that 19-year stellar NBA career. Any coach that you talk to in the league, I mean, always high praise for Jason Kidd. You're talking about one of the top five point guards all time that has ever been a part of the league, in my opinion. But I think the first task at hand for him, Royce, is he's got to assemble a very strong coaching staff. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, that, you know, it's so important. We've seen it with the Mavericks and, you know, with San Antonio and Miami Heat. They both have a great collection of coaches, and I think he has to surround himself with some great coaches. I'm surprised that they're going to give him a head coach and not assistant coach, but if anybody can make the transition, I think Jason Kidd could possibly do it. Like I said, 19 years, great basketball man, and if you can remember his time in Dallas, he was more or less a player coach, so, you know, I think it would be real big for Brooklyn.
Well, he's got incredible basketball knowledge and the experience, and you're right. I mean, we certainly, you know, we heard Coach Carlisle talk a lot about that. I mean, he is like that coach on the floor, out there getting everybody in the right positions, and just has such a great feel for the game. And so I anticipate that he will be successful wherever he goes. And you brought up a great point. You know, we're seeing former players that are having a lot of success in the head coaching position. You know, Mark Jackson. I have to say, I was a bit surprised. You know, PJ Carlissimo, you know, I thought he did a very nice job after, you know, Avery Johnson was let go and how PJ stepped in there. But it's kind of hard to figure out this league because there's not necessarily a whole lot of longevity with head coaching positions. I mean, who would have thought that the Memphis Grizzlies have ever been being led by Lionel Hollins? And then, of course, his contract was not renewed. And then George Karl, NBA Coach of the Year, and he's parting ways. So there are certainly some very exciting positions that are available. Now, let's talk about, now you and your son have had a chance, Rodney, to take in some of this NBA Finals. First of all, what has it been like? And you were there, what, at game three for the Spurs blowout? Is that correct?
Absolutely. I was at game one and game three, and I don't plan on missing anymore. They have given me everything that I've asked for. You know, nobody saw this coming. And so far, the desperate team has been the winning team. So I'm anxious to see what's going to happen. Everybody knows the pressure's on LeBron to step up. So I won't miss this game, at least. It's going to be a big game.
Well, and you know the Heat, if we look overall what has transpired throughout the finals, I mean, the Heat really do have to play with a level of consistency. They cannot continue to show up every other night. But really, you have to tip your hat to the Spurs because they can flat out dominate. The fact that, you know, they handed Miami the third worst beating in finals history. And I was just talking about this with our previous guest. It was not you know, the typical guys, the big three with Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. But how about Danny Green and, you know, Gary Neal? You're like, and who are these guys? You know, because in terms of, you know, they're not big name players, but they were just really contributing in such a significant way and setting that NBA Finals record of 16 three-pointers.
And, you know, whoever thought 2 days ago, you know, Spurs were blown out. Miami went on a 33-5 run.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, beat them and they bounced back. But you're absolutely right. You had three, you know, the big three didn't play that great last time. But they do have another big three. That's Danny Granger, Gary Neal, and Kawhi Leonard. Those are the future big three in San Antonio. But they absolutely played great. I think Miami is back up against the wall. And, you know, you had four guys. You had Haslam, Mario Chalmers,
yeah,
Chris Anderson, Ray Allen, and Shane Battier with a combined 6 points. Is not going to get it done. You know, it's really not. But you have to give San Antonio credit because I think their defense has really been a problem for LeBron. I don't know if they took a page out of Dallas Mavericks' 2010 run, but I did see Coach Carl out there. I don't know if they got any pointers from him. But they took a page out of the Dallas Mavericks book. They're not letting LeBron James get into the paint. I think that's a big difference in the game.
Yeah, the fact that LeBron in Game 3, you know, of course he was settling for jump shots, but he has got to get in that attack mode and take it to the basket, force the issue. I mean, he's got that great upper body strength, and I'm sure you would, you know, agree that he is the best player in the NBA right now, and he's such a playmaker. And so, but really the Spurs have done a beautiful job in terms of defensively, you know, not allowing him to get inside. So do you have any concerns, Royce, in terms of, you know, what is going to be plan B, the backup plan for Tony Parker if he is not, say he's not 100%, okay, say he's 90, say he's 85%. I mean, you know, Coach Carlisle had shared this with me. I mean, he is the guy that the whole thing starts with. I mean, as far as his ability in transition to break you down in so many different ways, I mean, Parker is a big piece to the puzzle.
And you're absolutely right. That's the biggest question tonight is what are you going to get from Tony Parker? If he's not able to play the whole game, Ginobili's going to have to step up. Of course, you know, you have Gary Neal. He's going to have to be somebody you're going to keep an eye on, too. But I think that, you know, even as Parker goes, San Antonio goes, that's going to be the biggest question is how would they respond without Tony Parker.
You're listening to the voice of Royce Fisher. Of course, he and his son, they have the wonderful website, and I'm telling you, they cover it all. It is not just Dallas Mavericks basketball. It is at rfsports.com. Is that right, Royce?
It's rfsports.com, and it's Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on TuneIn Radio on RFSN. And if you just type in the call letters RFSN, you go directly to the station with 24 hours. And we have a live, we cover everything from Canadian soccer, hockey, to the Olympics. So we try to do it all.
And Royce, what night of the week are you guys on live in terms of, I know there's 24-hour coverage and things that you have going on in terms of all the different people, and of course, E-Radio Sports, we are right on there too, but the night that you and your son are on live, is there a night that you guys are on live?
Well, so far we're doing the day of the game. We're on throughout the 24-hour rotation on RFSN. You can catch us anytime on that.
Okay, just a couple more quick questions when we talk about the 2013 NBA Finals. Of course, the Spurs certainly taking care of business at home. And I think one of the big reasons why, Royce, is you start looking at that rebounding category, being out, you know, out-rebounding the Heat by 16, 52-36, and they had 19 offensive boards. So somebody with the Heat better find their man and check him out and get a body on him and move him out of the lane or do whatever is necessary and get in that attacking mindset and mode, right? Rebounding is key.
And you're absolutely right. Rebounding has been a big key. Not only that, but the second chance points, they have just really dominated that too. So Miami has to do a better chance of rebounding the ball, but Kawhi Leonard has been a rebounding a nightmare for Miami.
Okay, LeBron James and Chris Bosh in Game 3, of course, they had double-digit boards. But Chris Anderson, what's been your impression of him so far, Royce? I mean, he didn't have any rebounds in 11 minutes of play. It's not like, you know, he didn't have significant time, but he's really been a non-factor. Are you disappointed in his performance so far?
Yeah, somewhat. I thought he would be a big impact like he was in the Indiana game. But I think the problem is he has to keep an eye on Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan is keeping him occupied in the paint. You know, you can't. He can shoot the mid-range jumper. He can play up, you know, under the rim. So I think he's not able to roam like he did in the Indiana series. That he had to stay put and keep an eye on Tim Duncan.
Our good friend Royce Fisher from RF Sports, rfsports.com, has been with us. Of course, we're breaking it all down. The 2013 NBA Finals, it is our favorite time of the year. It's nice and warm outside, and it's also, we're talking about the NBA. I will say this, too, and I've heard a little bit, you know, they're talking so much about in terms of how the Spurs are, you know, playing team basketball. They're sharing the ball, the familiarity of these guys. They know what to expect out of each other. Do you see a little bit of resemblance in terms of 2011 when the Mavericks won it all? Because that was a big thing that it was, you know, Dirk, of course, led the way, but they really played as a team and as a cohesive unit.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing about that win was they got a big contribution from the bench. And we've seen the same thing with San Antonio. You know, Gary Neal and Danny Green, both, what, 65 points?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to beat when you get that out of two guys. But we know the Mavericks had the entire bench. We had guys, everybody stepped up. Jason Terry, Stevenson, you know, we saw everybody step up in the Mavericks win. But I'm not seeing that with Miami. I'm seeing that with San Antonio. And if the bench continue to play as good as they are, I think Miami's in trouble.
It certainly is special and memorable when you start talking about that 2011 magical run for the Dallas Mavericks, too. So, Royce, it has been such a pleasure to have you on. I can't wait to see you at the upcoming NBA draft, and there'll be a lot of movement taking place there, too, I'm going to assume.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see what the Mavericks do in the with the 13th pick. I know you'll be there. But I thank you so much for having me on the show. I think you do a wonderful job, and you know you are my best friend.
Oh.
So anytime I could come on your show, I'm really happy.
Very good. Well, you boys be safe, and you tell Rodney, don't you dare text and drive, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, you bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum. And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss a game.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-545-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-545-MYTV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-545-MYTV. 1-855-545-MYTV. Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-545-MYTV. 1-855-545-MYTV.
Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, and it is time for our final, always our favorite segment, our Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. And I think, Jason, our conversation is going to start off talking about the NFL. Obviously, a very hot button down here in Dallas-Fort Worth is who should be making the calls with the Dallas Cowboys. And boy, a familiar name just pops up, and I know that you know him very, very well. That, of course, is the former head coach at the University of Nebraska, Bill Callahan. So I want you to weigh in on this. Who should be making the calls? What about Jason Garrett, or should it be Coach Callahan?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, the million-dollar question for every head coach that finds himself in a situation where maybe things aren't going great. Is usually most head coaches have come from the coordinator position, so whether it's offense or defense, but they're used to calling their own plays, and let's face it, I mean, there's not a head coach at the collegiate level or the NFL level that doesn't have a major ego issue or problem. It's just the way that they're built. You know, you need a certain confidence, I think, to have success at that level and to get to that level. But I think the thing that was the most, I would say, unsettling for Cowboys fans is, I think, kind of the dysfunction around, or maybe dysfunction isn't the right word. I think how, you know, they asked Jason Garrett his thoughts on Bill Callahan having play calling duties, and he acted like he didn't know what was happening. Bill Callahan came out and said, yes, I'm calling the plays. Jerry Jones had, you know, a different version of things. And it just seems to be that they're just never on the same page down there. And, you know, I think part of the problem is you have so many spokespeople for that team. Most of the time, owners take a back seat. They're not out there. They're not talking about X's and O's. They're not talking about, you know, who's calling this, who's calling that. With Jerry Jones in Dallas, it's a totally different situation. But then you also have the head coach, where you want him to be a head coach. You want him to feel like a head coach. You want him to act like a head coach. So that means going in front of the media, going in front of the press, and saying this is the way things are going to happen. But it's hard to do that when you're constantly, you know, having your legs cut out from under you, because you just don't ever know what Jerry has already said to the media. So in a lot of ways, it is a difficult situation. I think it can be the best of situations for a head coach, and I think it can be the worst. But Bill Callahan, I mean, you know, his time here at Nebraska, I don't think the plays he was calling you know, I think just the ins and outs maybe of the actual football team, I don't know how poorly run that aspect of it was, or how bad the play calling was. I mean, he just didn't know how to run a college program. You know, he didn't know, he didn't want to rub elbows and shake hands with the boosters and do that whole sort of thing. You know, he had this feeling or this aura about him that don't ever question me because I'm 100 times smarter than you. I'd love to explain it to you, but you probably won't understand. You know, that was his problem here at Nebraska, and that just doesn't fly here. You know, the biggest problem for Bill Callahan at Nebraska was he just couldn't fire his good friend and Kevin Cosgrove, the defensive coordinator. But in terms of offensive line coaches, I know that he is top three in the NFL. You know, there's a lot of respect for him when it comes to that. Play calling, I don't know. You know, we're going to have to see. I guess the last time he really called plays was maybe with the Raiders. And,
now the time has passed from that situation, you find out, things were kind of rough out there as well, too. But I think he'll probably do a decent job. He has a pretty good mind when it comes to offensive play calling.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. This weekend, we are focusing on the NFL. We've got a number of hot topics that we're going to be discussing. You know, it's interesting you bring up Bill Callahan, the fact that he's not called plays in an NFL game, you know, since his time. I mean, it's been since 2003, Jason. I just found that. Or, you know, of course, during his time at the University of Nebraska in 2007. So I'm wondering what they're seeing that he's going to be able to do to make the Cowboys that much better.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that he gets, I guess, is, you know, like that offensive line, like I was saying, I mean, that's kind of, you know, his, at the end of the day, that's where he hangs his hat. And I think with Dallas and Romo, you're looking at one of the most inconsistent teams slash player in the NFL. He's got the capability, both the team and player, to go out and look like, you know, the greatest NFL team that you've seen play in your lifetime, but then they can go out the following Sunday and they look like they haven't had one organized practice for 5 years. And I think that's something that they've got to do better. And I think Bill Callahan, I think the thing that he's going to want to do is he's going to want to run the football. For as much, I think, attention as there is on Romo, this is something, he understands those big fat guys up front. And certainly it's more than just run blocking when you're an offensive lineman.
Uh-huh.
The pass protections and everything else that goes along with it. But I think he understands that in order to be successful throwing the ball, and for Romo to be successful throwing the ball, you've got to have a consistent run game. And not to say that Jason Garrett wasn't on board with that way of thinking. I mean, this is a guy who came from, you know, those New York Giant teams, where he spent so many years. He understands running the football. So, I just think that it's more about, I think, trying to get things organized and saying, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. Now, Jason Garrett, you just have to worry about being a head coach. That's all you got to do. You don't have to worry about, play calling. You don't have to worry about this. You can focus more on the team rather than, so much with the offense and very little with the defense.
Breaking it all down this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Each and every week, we have an opportunity to catch up with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. As I said from the start of this interview, we are zeroing in on the NFL. There's been some movement that has taken place, and I think none bigger than Timmy Tebow. He is a winner, and he has certainly landed on his feet with the Patriots. And I wanted to get your thoughts, Jason, on this particular development. And I love what the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, shared. He just said, you can't get enough good people. You can't get enough people like this. I mean, he's just a winner, and he's going to bring that into the locker room.
Yeah, and, I think everybody was kind of thinking, if there's one coach who could figure out and utilize Tim Tebow, in order to make Tim Tebow successful and to have him be a productive member of a team, I think most people would have said Bill Belichick. He's got a way of finding out either what you do really well, or if you're on the opposing team that weekend, he's going to find out, and down to a person, what that person does really bad. And that's what he attacks. He'll get a game plan. He'll get the videotape of next week's opponent, and he will go through all those guys on defense, and he'll say, this guy cannot play, this D-tackle can't play a down block. So, boom, we're going to hit him off tackle all day. And that's what he does. And there's the flip side of that coin where he can take talents or special talents from guys, special skills, and he just magnifies them. And I think he'll probably do that with Tebow. I mean, look, there's no guarantee that Thibault will be a success, even with Belichick taking him. But the chances are is that he probably will be fairly successful. I think, if anything, Bill Belichick will look at it as a challenge. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying about those egos with these head coaches, where he's looking at everybody else saying they don't want anything to do with him because they don't think he's a good football player. I'm going to show everybody in this league and everybody who's a football fan that I can make a player out of anybody, and I'm going to do that with Tebow. And I think that's part of his mindset, too.
Do you think Tim Tebow showed us during his time with Denver that he could be successful within the NFL?
Yeah, I think he showed you that he's just a winner. And, you know, that's the bottom line of this business. Winning football games, and it doesn't matter how you do it. It's just getting those W's stacked up, and that's what Tebow does, and that's what he's been doing his whole career. You know, you don't have to be the biggest fan of Tebow, but I don't understand the people that just can't stand him they think he's, you know, one of the worst players that's ever stepped foot on a field. That part I just don't understand.
Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And before you know it, the start of the college football season will be getting underway. And I know you're right there in Lincoln. I mean, any news about or any developments of anything that's going on up there that we can perhaps keep our eye on?
No, everybody is just getting ready for the start of the season and getting ready for the big Jason Peter all four getter done golf event. That's about it. That's all the talk in town is about.
Oh, and of course, the Campbell family, we are looking so forward. In the month of September, we will be up there supporting you in that. It is always so much fun. And I think the best part is just, I think of all the wonderful memories we are having as a family, because little Steven, he absolutely loves being a part of it. It's so much fun. So listen, happy Father's Day to you this weekend too, Jason. Do you guys have big plans?
Thank you. No, nope, not at all. Hopefully the wife will remember, but chances are I think she will.
Well, you just tell her to go to eradiosports.com and click on the podcast page, and she can listen to her Jason Peter.
Yep.
Okay. Jason, take care. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right. Thanks, A.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.